Happy Monday. And yes, it is Monday. This is the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 437. I'm your host, and I'm Steve Webb. And I should say, it's Monday if you're listening to this on the day that it is meant to be released. If you're listening sometime later, well, maybe it's Monday, maybe it's not. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. And we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. Unless I forget to hit the publish button like I did for last Thursday's show, in which case Thursday's show is published on Friday, which then causes my Tomorrow is Friday closing to sound really strange. Or worse yet, it causes you to think, what? It's only Thursday? Oh man, I thought tomorrow was Saturday. And then you're bummed all day long, and then you get up and go to work on Saturday thinking that it's Friday, and it's not until you get there and find out the doors are all locked up tight that you realize that good old Steve lied to you on Friday morning when he said it was Thursday, and tomorrow is Friday, and oh man. So talk about the weight of responsibility. I don't know if I could take it. I guess I'll just have to try. If all that did happen to you, I apologize, and by the way, man, are you gullible. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament and track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today our text is Matthew 26 from the English Standard Version. Let's begin. Matthew 26. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out against us as a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found no one, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly. May God bless the reading of His Word. Have you ever made a promise to God? Have you ever been so much in love with Him that you just knew that you would always be right in the center of His will? Or let's dial it back a notch or 50. Have you ever made a promise to your spouse, your significant other, or even just a friend? And have you ever failed to deliver on that promise? When you break a promise made to a human being, that's one thing. Ideally, you apologize, they forgive you, and you move forward. But when you make a promise to God, wow, that's big, right? In verse 23, Peter said to Jesus, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Like me, Peter was one who often spoke from his heart. I think he really believed what he said because emotionally, at that moment, he could not imagine forsaking Jesus. But guess what? Emotions ebb and flow. And when we speak or make commitments based on emotions, we're going to be making promises that we cannot keep, which is what Peter did here. So let's get to you and me. I know I've made promises that over time, I ended up breaking. Promises to people and promises to God. How about you? Sometimes the broken promises to people create broken relationships. What about broken promises to God? What happened when Peter broke his promise to never fall away? Well, first, when he realized what he had done, it broke his heart. And later, as we shall see in subsequent chapters, Jesus forgave Peter, and Peter went on to become one of the early church's leaders, as Jesus said he would. So when I break a promise to God, as soon as I realize it, I'm on my knees confessing and asking forgiveness. And just as he saw Peter's remorse and then forgave him, God sees my broken heart and forgives me. Listen, God is not surprised by our failures. Do you believe that Jesus was surprised by Peter's failure? Of course not. As a matter of fact, as soon as Peter made his promise, Jesus said, "Yeah, no, Peter. You not only are going to fall away, but you're going to deny me 3 times tonight." So if Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail then, do you think that he knew that Peter was going to break that promise a few nights before when he said that Peter was blessed because God had revealed to him that Jesus was the Son of the living God? Of course Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail on that night and deny him. So if you're busy beating yourself up because you have failed, stop it. God can still use you. You didn't throw a monkey wrench in God's plans. He will forgive you if you ask Him, and He will accomplish His plan in your life. I promise. But more than that, He promises, and He never breaks a promise. Your thoughts? If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 437.lifespringmedia.com. And you can tweet me at @_SteveWeb_#LifespringMedia. This show is brought to you by me and listeners who value what we're doing here. My thanks to those who support the show and the Value for Value model. And special thanks to my friendly editor. If you think the show brings value to your life, check out support.lifespringmedia.com. I'll see you tomorrow when we're back in 2 Kings. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.